Good morning. Please join me in the prayer for illumination. O Lord, since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. The scripture reading for today is from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Bob. Let me ask you this. When you hear the name Moses, what comes to mind? Leader of the Exodus? Author of the first five books of the Bible? An icon of our faith? Charlton Heston? And the movie The Ten Commandments? Before Moses was any of that, I believe that he was very much like us. He was trying to live a good, faithful, quiet, and safe life with his family and friends. Then, one day, everything changed. God called. In the second in our series, Exploring God's Word to Us from the book of Exodus, we will learn more about not only God's call to Moses, but God's call to all of us. The Exodus reading begins at the end of chapter 2, starting with verse 23. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned under their slavery and cried out. Out of the slavery, they cried for help, rose up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the Israelites, and God took notice of them. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, I must turn aside and look at this great sight and see why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then God said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I have seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He said, this is God, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain." But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." God said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations.'" This is the end of our passage today. May God add a blessing to our hearing as we seek now to apply it to our lives. Did you notice how much of that passage is God's directly speaking? As I figure it, at least 90% of the entire passage is God's direct words. And those words are overflowing with strong compassion, strong purpose, and strong determination and plan. But what has prompted such a powerful and emphatic response from God? None other than God's people themselves. God's people have found their voices and raised them to high heaven. The pleading, persistent groans and cries are from the Israelites who are enslaved in Egypt. And God not only hears, God is deeply, deeply affected by what he hears. "I know their sufferings," God says. I hear that as God knows it in his being. It's not just something abstract, but the sufferings of the Israelites is very real to God. And God is so moved by the cries and groans and sufferings of the people that he immediately sets in motion a plan to change things, to set them free. At the center of God's plan is God's call to Moses. Disturbing Moses from his simple, safe, and quiet life. When God calls to Moses, he is at work, doing the most common thing that he has done day in and day out, taking care of the sheep that belong to his father-in-law. At the time of the call, Moses was married, had grown children, maybe grandchildren. Sources estimate that Moses, at the time of this call, was around 80 years old. No spring chicken. I can relate. I was in my 50s when God called me. No spring chicken. But before we go on, let's go back to before God called Moses. Because Moses' life before the call was a bit more complicated. Before we find him in that field with the sheep. Moses was born at a time, you heard last week from Cody, when all Israelite male babies were slated to be killed. So Moses' mother, you know this story, Moses' mother puts him in a basket and sets him afloat down the river, known to be a place where the daughter of the Pharaoh sometimes bathed. Having been found and accepted by the Pharaoh's daughter, Moses was raised in Pharaoh's court, learning and participating in what we might imagine was something in its day and age of the good life. Then one day, it's estimated that Moses is about 40 years old when this happens. One day, as the Israelites were being forced as slaves to build a temple for the Egyptians, Moses saw one of the Egyptian slave drivers beating one of the Israelites, and he becomes incensed. He kills the slave driver and attempts to hide the body. When word got out about what Moses has done, he was a wanted man. He becomes a man on the run, finally finding refuge in a small rural community, hundreds of miles away. He found work, got married, started a family. He has made a new life for himself, kind of like in modern days a witness protection program. So Moses is trying desperately not to be noticed. But God, did I mention that? God has other plans, plans to use Moses to free God's people, to put Moses square in the limelight. This and more are the purposes for which Moses is called. And now, I think God could have called Moses in many different ways. He could have chosen to speak quietly to Moses in his own mind. But he didn't. He chose to speak to him from a burning bush that didn't burn up. As God knows each of us by name, God calls out of the burning bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses answers, "Here I am." Not about location, but about willingness to serve, to obey. God goes on to identify himself and his relationship with the legacy of Moses' ancestors. God identifies the pressing need of the Israelites who are in such miserable condition in Egypt. God identifies his call to Moses saying simply, "So come. I will send you to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Given Moses' background and the wanted poster with his face on it, the last place Moses wants to go is Egypt. Too dangerous, too risky. Moses answers, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Probably a good question. We all want to feel capable before we act. We all want to have a good chance of succeeding at what we attempt. However, when it comes to God's call to us, both individually and as a church, this body of Christ on this hill in Littleton, this is not how it usually happens. That sort of self-confidence could easily become trust in oneself rather than trust in God. "Come," God says to Moses. "Come, I will send you." God knew that Moses had what it would take because God would be with Moses every step of the way. And he would send other people, supporters like Aaron and Miriam, to help. So what is God's answer to Moses' question? "Who am I to go?" Simply, completely, God says, "I will be with you." When you hear that, is that enough for you? Is it enough for me? Is it enough for this church? Initially, it was not enough for Moses. He wants to know more about how freeing the Israelites is going to happen. How's it going to happen? How can I do what you're calling me to do? He comes up with maybe what we hear as excuses, but I think are also legitimate concerns for why he's not the right person to be sent by God to the Pharaoh to free the Egyptians. God doesn't get into it with Moses as far as trying to shore him up. God hears Moses' fears and concerns, of course. But for God, his freeing the Israelites with Moses at the center is a foregone conclusion. Just because we don't know how God's going to act doesn't mean God isn't going to act or isn't already acting. And in our first reading this morning that Bob read, we hear of another close encounter between the human and the divine, Peter and Jesus. I love this passage. Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter answers, "You know that I love you." Jesus then says, "Take care of my sheep." Did you hear that call? No burning bush this time, just a simple, quiet question and answer between two good friends. And the conversation goes back and forth, more questions, more answers, and calls to action. An action to fill a need, to feed hungry and wayward, some might say shabby, sheep. Jesus asks for Peter's affirmation of love. And out of that love, Jesus affirms the necessity to serve those in need, all the while reaffirming Peter's call to be a leader in the church. What is true and changeless for Peter, for Moses, is true and changeless for us today. Moses and Peter were called. So are we all called. Now, these days, call tends to be primarily associated with religious vocations, but that's not the original intention of call. God calls whoever God desires to wherever and whatever God needs. And God calls all kinds of people to all kinds of jobs and service. We have recognized this morning those who have answered the call, God's call, to be teachers and shepherds for our Sunday school programs. These men and women and youth don't have to worry about being fully equipped for what lies ahead, because God is with them and will equip them as they go. I believe with all my heart that we can draw strength from God's call to Moses and to Peter. Both had their doubts and feelings of inadequacy and fear for their lives, wondering if God might be better to check that number and try the call again. Nevertheless, Moses and Peter answer God's call, even when they don't know all that they're getting into. Both knew what was most important, the promise that God would be with them, not in a passive way, but in a very active, involved way. 18 years ago, when I was working in the corporate world, God called me to enter the seminary. I was all settled in a career I loved. So why would God call me? Accepting the call would be disruptive and life-changing. And indeed it has. I wrestled with God's call to me for more than 2 years. And then I finally started seminary with God's direct words of assurance, I will be with you. And with me, God has been every step of the way. God calls to me. God says to you, to me. God says to this entire church, come, I will send you. And if we ever doubt our adequacy for the call or the disruption to our life as we know it, let's remember and remind each other what God said then and what God says now. I will be with you. Amen.